Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your questions, your prayer requests, or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity and this day that you have made and created and have blessed us to come together once again. Dear Lord, we ask, Lord, that your spirit would accompany us, that you will anoint me to give this message according to your pleasing. And I pray that all that is listening to this broadcast that seek truth shall find it. Speak into the hearts of those who are seeking your face, Lord. Speak your answer. Speak your will. And Father, we invite your spirit to be with us to share light in areas that have been dark, Lord God. Reveal to us what thus says the Lord. And Lord, we will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part two, The Angel Who Truly Visited Joseph Smith, Real Truth, Part Two. Now, I want to say to those of you who are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts, so this page you listen to me on, you should be able to go back to the page from where you clicked on to get on to this page here, and it has a list as you scroll down of past episodes, and even go down to the bottom where you will see numbers down like 1, 2, 3, 4. That's more past episodes. So I want to encourage you to go back and listen to part one, that you may be caught up to speed. Amen. Because when you come in the middle or end of a message or lesson, it's hard to grasp the overall theme that the subject that's being discussed at hand. Now, we're talking about or looking at today concerning Joseph Smith. Now, many of you have heard of Joseph Smith. You know him, quote, as, quote, the leader of the Mormons, or the one that started Mormonism, which is true. However, there are many of you who do not know that at one time, Joseph Smith was used by God, okay? Now, and because all you've heard was the negative side, which that negative side is true, okay? I'm not here to defend Joseph Smith and say all that, you know, people's lying. No. At one time, God was using Joseph Smith, but Joseph Smith became lifted in pride. And he got lifted up in pride because, you know, number one, God was using him. And number two, people started looking at Joseph Smith because of the way God was using him. They started looking at him as a god, okay? So whatever came from his mouth, they consider it bond, okay? That's it. It's true. Now, you had some brothers who was with Joseph Smith at that time who begin to detect the wrong that he was doing and call them out. Of course, they was put out or excommunicated from the church. Brothers like Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, okay? These men, when they found out that Joseph Smith got to a point where in pride he started bringing some false things forward, they called him out on it. And this is why today that when you talk to Mormons and you ask them about these two men, when you say, what happened with Oliver Cowdery? They don't like to talk too much about Oliver Cowdery. And you say, well, what happened to David Whitmer? They don't too much like to talk about David Whitmer. Okay, that's you know, if they say anything, it's going to be very, very little, and they're going to get off their subject, okay? They do not like speaking about those men because those men stood when Joseph Smith was in error and called them out. And when you have people looking at a person as a god and you call them out like that, you know, now you looked at as being evil, okay? Now, Joseph Smith was used by the Lord and translating these plates, which was a written account of the people that lived on this continent during prehistoric times, a written account about the people who came here from the Tower of Babel, you know, in Genesis 11, where they were scattered abroad upon the face of all the earth. Some came to this continent, the Jaredites, okay? And they kept an account of God dealing with them, commandments, judgments, all that God gave unto them and his communication with them. Then there was another group of people that came who were of the house of Israel, of the house of Joseph. And these people came over here to this continent. And they kept an account of God's dealings with them and the judgment and commandments and all of that and what was going on over here. And so the Lord used Joseph Smith in translating it. By the power of God, it was translated. The language was written in another language. And by the power of God, through this instrument called Urim and Thummim, the Lord, by his power, translated it. Joseph Smith would read it off, and the brother Oliver Cowdery would write down what Joseph Smith was reading off to him. Therefore, it comes to this day, it is called the Record of the Nephites, because it is a record of the Nephites, who were the people of God over here on this continent, who was used by God, and they had kept a record also of what was going on over here and how God dealt with them. Now, on the way to coming across these plates, Joseph Smith was visited by an angel. And here's the thing. When you look on the Mormons' website, and I gave a couple of them to you in part one, you will see that the Mormons said, well, Joseph Smith was visited by an angel. And they said that angel that visited him name was Moroni. Now, that's interesting that they said the angel name was Moroni. And that name Moroni comes from one of the people that live over here during those prehistoric times whose name is in the Record of the Nephite, okay? And the Mormons, on one of the sites I read to you, apparently it was told to them that actually the angel that visited him was named Nephi. And so the Mormons on their website said, well, there is no evidence that Joseph Smith said it was Nephi. So we're concluding that it is Moroni under their conclusion, okay? Under their conclusion, under their coming to judge the situation, they said, well, it's Moroni, okay? Now, I want to show you today why, and I read to you on part one also the actual account Joseph Smith gave, where he was visited by an angel, and he said that the angel told him his name was Nephi, which now the Mormons claim, well, there's no account that he said Nephi, okay? And so here's the thing about the Mormons. They like to change truth, okay? They like to change things. Like the original writings of the Nephi record, they got a hold of that, well, through, you know, Joseph Smith and his failing, and they changed some words in it. That's why they got what is called the Book of Mormon. And the Book of Mormon is a bunch of changed stuff from the original writings, okay? Amen. And so I want to show you today why this angel was not Moroni, but Nephi. Nephi is also another person that lived on this continent during the prehistoric times who wrote an account there in the record of Nephi, whose name was Nephi. Now, the Mormons are saying it was Moroni that visited Joseph Smith. And others have said, well, no, it was Nephi. Said the original account Joseph Smith gave was Nephi, which the Mormons claim that they have not seen no account of that. Okay. I'm going to show up to you why it was, is Nephi, but really more why it is not Moroni. Okay. I'm going to show you. So this is geared more to show you that it was not the man named Moroni. Okay. And I'm going to show you why. And for me to show you why, I got the first layer foundation. And in this foundation is really going to be telling you why. Okay. So if you got your Bibles, keep your Bible by your side for a minute here. I'm going to open up with a scripture from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was sending his angel, the Elijah, with a modern day word, a midnight cry, spoken of in Matthew 25. He spoke of the sending of Elijah in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4. He also called that same Elijah his messenger in Malachi 3. Okay. He is that prophet from Deuteronomy 18 and 18, also spoken of in Acts chapter 3. Okay. Now, in the message that's called the 113th message, because thus far, the Lord been sending his angel. He has sent him approximately 120 times, which represent a message, you know, for each one. So 120 messages. There was a message that the Lord Jesus sent out through him, June the 15th, 1992, and it is called the 113th message, okay? And I'm going to read a verse out of there, which is the fourth verse, and this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. This is what he gave his angel authorization to tell his people, amen? And I want you to hear this. It says, the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Okay? He is the resurrection and the life. Okay? He is the Savior, Redeemer, and King of all mankind. All that hear and obey have right to the tree of life and to eternity. His glory shall overshadow them. Now, we notice here, Jesus authorizes angel to tell us that Jesus is the resurrection, just like he told Mary and Martha and them in John chapter 11, that he is the resurrection. In other words, when you speak about the resurrection, you have to talk about him. And you have to talk about him in such a way that he started it. He paved the way for the resurrection to be. Now, we know the resurrection is the reuniting. Now, we're talking about raised to, let's put it this way, raised to immortality is the reuniting of the spirit and soul with the body. But the body has been changed, okay, to more of a glorified body, a body of immortality, not a body that is subject to this time frame, okay? You understand that? It's not subject to the time frame of years in these time frame, okay? But Jesus, by him being the resurrection and the life, he paved the way for the resurrection to be. In other words, that the grave could not hold the dead bodies. He made that way, and he made the way for all that receive him, that they can dodge the place of the spiritually dead, which is known as hell, okay? The Hades, the tormented side of hell. Now, having said that, let us go to our Bibles now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Now, I'm still laying groundwork to show unto you why this angel that visited Joseph Smith, where the Mormons are saying the angel was Moroni, I'm going to show it to you why it was not Moroni, and it was Nephi from the original account, hallelujah, that Joseph Smith said, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 53, the word of God says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Okay, so he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And look at verse 52 now. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, okay, which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Who is the his? Talking about after Jesus' resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, notice it said after his resurrection, which means that Jesus paved the way for others to be resurrected. In other words, it said that the resurrection of others didn't happen until after his. You understand that? After he was resurrected. Why? Because he paved the way. He defeated death. He took the sting out of death, okay? He defeated death. So this is why he is the resurrection and the life. Now, I want you to notice something else here in verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, the word of God is specific there. It didn't say many bodies of just anybody, but it specifically said the saints. Okay, so these were people who had died who was for the Lord and considered to be saint for the Lord. In other words, these here were what you would call the Old Testament saints. Okay, amen. These are those who died being consecrated unto the Lord before Christ's crucifixion, before his crucifixion and resurrection. They had already died. So they are Old Testament saints, okay? And when Jesus was resurrected, so were they. Once again, the Old Testament saints, those who were consecrated unto the Lord but died before Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. You understand what I'm saying? Now, having said that, keep your place there, and I want to read a scripture from the record of Nephi, which was given. I'm going to read here from one of the books in the record of Nephi called the Book of Mosiah. And it was given before the first resurrection even happened, before Christ paved the way. It was given what is going to happen and who will be resurrected. Now, in what it is called the 15th chapter of the Book of Mosiah, and I'm going to read verses 20 to 24, and it says, but behold, the bands of death shall be broken. Now, this is spoken before Christ even came in the flesh, okay? Hallelujah. He said, but behold, the bands of death shall be broken, and the sun reign, the sun is talking about Jesus Christ, and the sun reigneth, and have power over the dead. Therefore, he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, okay? Because he paved the way. He the one that caused the resurrection to be. Okay, now it says, listen to this, and there cometh a resurrection, even a first resurrection, okay? Now listen to that. Yea, even a resurrection of those that have been and which are and which shall be, even until the resurrection of Christ, for so shall he be called. Okay? And now the resurrection of all the prophets and all those that have believed in their words or all those that have kept the commandments of God, These shall come forth in the first resurrection. Therefore, they are the first resurrection. They are raised to dwell with God, who have redeemed them. Thus, they have eternal life through Christ, who have broken the bands of death. And these are those who have part in the first resurrection. And these are they that have died before Christ came. You hear this? In their ignorance, not having salvation declared unto them, and thus the Lord bringeth about the restoration of these. And they have a part in the first resurrection, or have eternal life, being redeemed by the Lord. So those who had died in Christ, hallelujah, before Christ came, or died in the Lord, or died being consecrated unto the Lord, the prophets and those that believe on the words, they was consecrated to the Lord, and they go under the category of the Old Testament saints. So in the very first resurrection to immortality, when the Bible said many bodies of the saints which slept arose, it's dealing with the Old Testament saints. They was resurrected, okay? All those that were consecrated unto the Lord before Christ came. Hallelujah. Who had died before Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Hallelujah. Was resurrected, okay? Are you still with me here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, so the Old Testament saints was the ones that were resurrected, okay? They're the ones that was consecrated to God, who died before Christ came, or died before Christ was crucified and resurrected, okay? You get that? Old Testament saints, hallelujah, they were resurrected. Hallelujah, glory to God. I want to, and let's see which way I want to go here. Let's go back to the Bible here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to start at verse 12. Hallelujah. Now, starting at verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Okay? For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Okay, you see that. Now, it tells you here that all they which are falling asleep in Christ are perished if there be no resurrection. So there are those, now get this, we seen that there was those who were resurrected after Christ was resurrected, and there were those at that time, speaking to the Corinthians, that have died in Christ, that is going to be resurrected, okay? So those that died in Christ after he came, his crucifixion and resurrection, have not been resurrected yet, okay? But the Old Testament saints who died consecrated unto the Lord, they rose after Christ rose, okay? So they already have been resurrected. But those who have fallen asleep in Christ after he was crucified and resurrected is yet to be resurrected, okay? Hallelujah. They is yet to be resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at First Thessalonians chapter 4 to even verify this even more. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, and verse 16 is going to be our key verse, okay? Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. Verses 15 and 16 will be the key verse. Now look what the Word of God says. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So Paul was telling you there are some that are asleep. When he's talking about asleep, they died. He ain't talking about physically asleep per se, okay, or literally asleep per se. He's talking about those that have died. And he said, I'm going to read verse 15 again. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Did you see that? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that's telling you there are people who have yet to been resurrected yet, and they include the dead in Christ or believers. You hear that? So once again, in the very first resurrection to immortality, the Old Testament saints was resurrected after Christ paved the way for the resurrection. They rose from Christ's world, okay? But those who died after Christ and in Christ, but they are yet to be resurrected. You hear that? Hallelujah. They're yet to be resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me read one more verse as I want to get to my key verse here. I want to go back to the word of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus sent a message out January the 8th, 19th, known as the 74th message, the 74th time that Jesus sent his angel, sent him with the word, say, hey, go, I want you to go take my word to the people. I want you to go tell them this and this, okay? And Jesus sent this out January the 8th, 1951, okay? Now, once again, I'm giving you dates. Don't have a problem giving you dates, because the Lord wants you to ask him about it, point blank and period, okay? Now, I'm going to read what is called the third verse in the 74th message. It says, likewise, a day wherein Satan has great power and seek to destroy all he can of the good, but he shall fail in the end. He has swayed men for this long time to follow traditions of men and not the way of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They turn from the former commandment and remember them not until now the faithful are holding to the truth, even the record of the Nephites and all the Lord's words, wherein there is but one Lord, one God, one salvation, and one plan of redemption, and a place in the hereafter for the faithful with God, and for those that doubt in evil, are evil, captured by Satan, absorbed in his ways, shall remain so till the resurrections shall be. Now he said resurrections with an S, that's plural. So that's telling that there are those who are yet to be resurrected, okay? Which includes those who have died in Christ, okay? Those that have died in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, getting to the meat of this. I want to go to the record of Nephi. Hallelujah. And in the record of Nephi, Jesus, after his resurrection, after his crucifixion and resurrection, he came over here to visit the Nephites. Now, this is after his crucifixion and resurrection, okay? He came to visit the Nephites, okay? And when he came over here to visit the Nephites, hallelujah, after he gave them words over here, when he came to visit him, the account of what was going on after he left was still being taken. And it was being taken by a man who was a servant of the Lord named Moroni, okay? Moroni was living after Christ was resurrected. He did not die before Christ came. He died after Christ had come and was resurrected. In fact, somewhere after, looking at the dates down here, somewhere after 385 A.D., okay? In fact, in this 8th chapter of the Book of Mormon, this is what Moroni said. He said, "Behold, I, Moroni, do finish the record of my father, Mormon. Behold, I have a few things to write, which things I have been commanded of my father. And now it come to pass that after the great and tremendous battle at Cumorah, behold, the Nephites, which had escaped into the country southward, were hunted by the Lamanites until they were destroyed." So Moroni didn't start taking his account until after Christ came and was resurrected. Remember, I gave you scripture to show you that only those who die in Christ is going to be resurrected after Christ, those who have died in Christ after Christ came. So therefore, they have yet to be resurrected. That is the reason why that angel could not have been Moroni, okay? Now, there was Nephi, especially the Nephi that first started writing. When you read the record of Nephi, it opens up with first Nephi, and his name was Nephi that was taken account. Now, he died before Christ came. So that's why it could be that Nephi, but it could not be Moroni. You understand that? Hallelujah. And see, many of you would know that because many of you do not have the record of the Nephite, okay? If you had the record of the Nephite and you read when Moroni started taking account and see that he was, quote, living after Christ had come and was crucified and resurrected, you would know that, okay, it couldn't be him, because he ain't been resurrected. You understand that? You know, just like you have people that say, you know, my dad, granddaddy, he be leading me all the time. He talks to me and he walks with me and he goes, no, that ain't your dad, granddad ain't doing that. That's not your dad, granddad. And I advise you to be very watchful, because there are evil spirits that are called familiar spirits. Okay? Dead granddad ain't been resurrected yet. You understand that? Hallelujah. He ain't been resurrected yet. So this is why, and see, the Mormons are running with this Moroni thing, but no. Amen. Hallelujah. He died after Christ had came, okay? So Moroni, he hadn't been resurrected. So therefore, no, he wasn't visiting Joseph Smith. It was a Nephi, like the first account. Now, Joseph Smith himself, too, went to change stuff that God had originally given him. You know, this is why, you know, you got to check things, people. Even if it's coming from me, you got to check things. And see, the Mormons know, they can tell many people that, because many people don't have the record of the Nephite. Amen. They don't have the record of the Nephite. Hallelujah. So no, it wasn't Moroni that visit Joseph Smith, because he hadn't been resurrected. See, we got to be very careful, okay? You know, when people, you know, especially, and some of y'all who listening, you may have come across some people like this and say, well, you know, like I said, my dad, granddaddy, you know, he leaves me every day. I've heard it with so many people. I believe my grandma watching down on me and she's guiding me. No, that ain't your grandma ain't guiding you. Your grandma ain't guiding you. I'm sorry. I mean, you can call me insensitive, whatever you want to call me, but your dead grandmama is not guiding you. If dead grandma wasn't saved, I got to be honest with you, she's in hell. If dead grandma was saved, then she in paradise. But either way it goes, she has not been resurrected. You know, many people that goes to these necromancers, you know, the necromancers are people that's supposed to call people from the dead. And they go to these necromancers not realizing that you're going to get a curse put on you. And so these necromancers, what they do, they summon up demons. And so these demons are good ventriloquists. You know, they can copy the voice down to a T. Okay? And so you think you're talking to dead Auntie Mary or dead Uncle JoJo, and Uncle JoJo, who you think you're talking to, had told you stuff that you know, oh, nobody else should know that, okay? So you're thinking it's Uncle JoJo, amen. But you fail to understand that those are familiar spirits. Bible calls familiar spirits. They're demon spirits. They're familiar. The reason why they're familiar spirits is because they're familiar with man. Listen, them demons had long enough time to study man, okay? They're familiar with man. So you thinking you talking to dead Uncle JoJo, you come to find out you ain't. Well, at least some people come and find out later on. But they fail to understand that by you going to the necromancer and going into what they call these seances, where they burning these candles and you're sitting around a table and they calling on these so-called the dead, which is nothing but demon spirits, when you realize that when you, by the time you realize, you have a curse put on you. Once again, take it from somebody that knows people. Brother Nate's just not talking noise to you. When you go to people that's dealing in powers of the demonic, and you go to them for help, they're going to curse you. You're going to get cursed. There's no way around it when you're going to something like that. You're going to get cursed. They got to appear like they're helping you. Once you go to them and be cursed, guess what? All kind of other stuff is going to break out in your life, I'm telling you. Now, you can either hear me or you can just close your ears to me. It's your decision. But God has given me here to even warn you. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. He's giving me to even warn you, you know. Hallelujah. And you go to them, and they start telling you, well, oh, yeah, you want to talk to your dead cousin? Y'all are real cool? Yeah, I want to talk to him. Let him know I'm so sorry what I did to him. And so you go into these necromancers, to these seances, and then they supposed to be calling up Cousin Tommy. And Cousin Tommy's supposed to be talking to you. Well, see, by you just going there, you have got on cursed ground. Now, once again, you ain't got to believe me. Just do it and see what happens. You're going to have all kind of other stuff break out in your life. People, when I lost patience in God. I lost patience on God. Because this thing was spurred by, I just, quote, come out of a relationship where, yeah, I think when I called this psychic, I had officially been broken up with a young lady. Be honest with you, I was going with. We weren't married. I was going with. And I'm like, I wanted to get married. I wanted to be someone to share life with. And instead of waiting on God, I just lost patience with God. And I called the psychic. Oh, they be so happy to help you. They want to help. They so happy to help you get cursed. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to ask, hey, when I'm going to get married? Oh, yeah, you're going to get married such a day. And all the full while, they curse you. People, listen. When that curse was put on me, demons were in the house I was living in. This was about 2 years before I got married. And I had a roommate, he being my best friend, but see, he was going to college, which was about 75 miles away, so an hour and 15 minutes away. So he only comes to the house on weekends. So through the week, it was just me. From Monday, or you could say from maybe Sunday, all the way maybe to maybe Friday night or Saturday morning, more like I think he would come to the house maybe on Friday evening or something like that. It was just me. And people, let me tell you, when they dropped that curse on me, I had demons in the house holding me on the couch in the middle of the night, on my back. You know, at that time, I was probably weighing like 100-something pounds. I felt like I had a 400- or 500-pound person on my back. I had to crawl. I couldn't even get up. Demons was talking to me in the middle of the morning in the voice of someone else I knew. And when I came to myself, because I'm thinking, what is this person doing in my house talking to me at this time of morning? And it wasn't that person. That was a demon spirit acting like in the voice of that person. Had a minister to visit my house one day, and he looked through there, and he said, what woman you got living here? I said, I don't have no woman living here. He said, I saw a spirit over this woman just go across this room here. So people, so you got to be careful when people are telling you, I'm talking to someone that's dead because they ain't been resurrected, people. My dead cousin, he comes and he talks to me every day here at the house. No, he ain't coming here. He ain't been resurrected. You got to be careful. And see, in this day and time, people is becoming a little bit more desperate, but they don't want to come the way of the Lord. They want a quick fix. If you notice today, just about most of all your stuff that mankind is dealing with, they always working on a quick fix. You know, I was just telling a brother the other day, it's just like exercise. When you exercise and want to really get your body in shape, you got to put some work in it. Look what they doing with these commercials. Get these kind of abs working out only 2 minutes a day. I mean, man, would you get real? Yeah. Because they know that people want quick fixes. You know, you don't have those many people in this day and time who's willing to work to achieve something. They want a quick fix, boom. I mean, even the job I work on, for the most part, with many of them, is all about doing stuff real fast. And I would tell them, say, I'd rather come forth with quality than quantity. Because if I do stuff real fast and I mess it up, what good is it? If you're selling a product, you want to give the best quality that you can give. It don't matter about how many you put it out if it's not a good product. It ain't going to sell. And see, the Mormons know that many people, they ain't going to check up on this. They wouldn't know how. Okay? Amen. And they said, well, he was visited by Moroni. No, he wasn't visited by Moroni. No, he wasn't. Amen. He wasn't visited by Moroni. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to be careful. You know, you have many of these religions, and they be really after people who they know ain't going to search nothing up. Because people is in this day and time where they just want to hear something. They don't want to search nothing up. They just want to be told so they don't have to put no effort in looking. Listen, even if I tell somebody the word and they just listen to my words, I still want to teach them the word. And I also try to teach them to have a personal study themselves. I do not teach people, when I teach the word of God, to just wait on me, wait on Brother Nate for all your teaching, and don't study nothing else on your own. I don't tell them that, because that would be a grave mistake. Because you gotta, and ministry, those in the ministry hear this, you got to teach people balance. You got to teach people that, okay, there's a part where your pastor plays a role in teaching you, and there's a part where you go one-on-one with the Lord for teaching. Well, you do it at home. See, you got to show them balance, okay? You got to show them balance. Hallelujah. So, yeah, Joseph Smith did have an angelic visitation. But it wasn't Moroni. And see, Joseph Smith, in his failings, he started changing stuff. Once again, from what God originally, things that God originally told him, he started changing it. See, that what happens when man get lifted in pride, he started fooling with something and what God said, and he wanted to change it to spice it up a little bit for him, okay? So you look at, in this day and time, you got these so-called gospel leaders and stuff like that. You can hear how they twist the word just to get the people aroused. They would twist the word of God. Especially these ministers who love for people to brag on them. You know, some of these ministers now is getting caught up more into being bragged on and doing anything just to join themselves to people that it's not even funny anymore. Amen. It's not even funny. Hallelujah. Does God send angels to man? Yes, he do. Well, the scripture shows that in the Bible alone that God has sent angels to man. Okay? Now, this is not a message for, in one part, to get in with y'all to say, oh, man, God going to send an angel all the time to me. No, I ain't saying that. And this is not also a message where it tells you that, you know, God would not send angels. Okay? But this message is basically dealt on that the Mormons, if you ever study the things they teach and say from over the years, one of the things they badly do is contradict themselves. And they're like a wall of confusion, okay? A wall of confusion. They just, you know, you listen to them and you go, huh? You know, really, huh? Because they have so many of these kind of teachings that make you go, uh-uh. And see, once again, they're being considered as a Christian organization. And see, I'm starting to convince those that who are saying they're a Christian organization, they ain't studying the Word of God. They can't be. They can't be. They ain't studying the Word of God, and they ain't searching deeply about the organization. Amen. They're not searching deeply about the organization. You know, it's just like one of my children, and I forgot which one it was, when we was living in another, we was, before we moved in this house here, I think it was my baby girl, she won some award for some math thing or something. And I forgot what was the name of it. But anyhow, they put in the word there has to be an initiation. I said, whoa, initiation? What kind of initiation got to be? And I had to do some deep research on it. First off, I found out that that organization was connected to a fraternity. And I was like, whoa. And then I read up on the initiation they do. It's like the fraternities. And I said, oh, no. Mm-mm. Now, mind you, here's the thing I did. At first, they needed, I don't know, $20 for something, and I sent it. But after I sent it, I don't know, I just got this trouble. And I said, Lord, I didn't even really just search this organization up. I said, because there's something about this organization. I don't know what it is. And once again, people, I forgot the name of it. I said, something about this, I need to search it up. When I search it up, that's when I found out, oh, my goodness, they connected to a fraternity. Then I started finding out how they do the rituals and stuff like that. I said, no. And I told my daughter, I said, no, you're not getting that. And I'm going to tell you right now, parents, if you ain't willing at times, quote, to be the bad guy, and I ain't talking about purposely doing evil, I'm talking about where that when you have to make a stance for the Lord and make the right call, that everyone in your house is not going to agree, including your kids. Because we're living in a day and time now that society has said kids are supposed to rule. And anything and everything they want, you need to get it to satisfy them. That's what the word society have been putting out for the past few years to the households, including to some Christian household who have come to accept it. You get that? And so, having been said that, you know, wow. But I thank God for the word of God today, and thank God for all you've been listening. Father, I thank you. Lord, you have blessed us once again with the word of God. Thank you for watching over and keeping us and strengthening us in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing everyone that's listening and tuned in for your glory. So, Father, I magnify you, dear Lord, because you're worthy. You're worthy to be lifted up and to be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise the name of our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Don't forget, tomorrow night, our brother Lee will be back for a gospel message with Brother Lee at 7 p.m. Look for the time tomorrow night. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.